Chapter 5, Intergalactic Space Division. Someone in a spacesuit is walking along a beach filled with white sand. The person takes a knee looking out at a pink ocean. It is Samuel Atkins, who is now on Gliese 581G, which is an Earth-like planet, a trip he had taken 3 months prior to the events on Time Street. He taps the side of his helmet, activating the artificial intelligence. The AI tells Atkins that there are 16.8 million species on Gliese 581G. He begins to walk toward his spaceship. The AI system alerts him.
I am detecting high levels of methane gas and extremely low temperatures.
Copy that, says Atkins. What are the chances of human survival?
The chances of human survival are 85 to 96% after 24 to 48 months of terraforming.
Atkins walks into the ship and pops off his helmet. He walks over and takes a seat in the cockpit. The AI's voice is now coming from the ship.
A worm jump from planet Earth to Gliese 581G would take approximately 16.2 hours. This planet being 3.5 times bigger than Earth would be suitable for Earth's rapidly growing population.
Copy that. End analysis. He looks out of the ship and takes it all in. He starts having flashbacks, remembering the day he signed up.
Listen, Atkins, says the general. What I'm about to tell you is above top secret. I can only tell you this if you say yes first.
Once, and if you say yes, your new career starts right now. Atkins is still confused by what he is seeing. I don't know, sir. I may need some time to think about this. The general stares into his soul.
We don't have time. I need an answer from you today, son. I need your answer right now. You get one phone call.
Atkins is shaking his head in disbelief. What if I say no? The general looks back at the men in suits and then looks at Atkins with a smirk on his face.
I don't think you will.
Atkins starts thinking to himself while shaking his head. The room is dead silent.
Okay, fine. Yes, I'm in. Now, what's going on?
The general sits himself up.
Good choice, Atkins. Now listen up. The Air Force and NASA have a secret joint division called the ISD, the Intergalactic Space Division.
Excuse me? Intergalactic Space Division? This has to be some type of joke, right? The general leans in closer.
Now, Atkins, does it look like I'm joking? I want you to be a part of our exploration branch. You will be seeking out new planets for mankind to inhabit.
Atkins is speechless. A drone flies from around the corner and scans Atkins.
What is this? He asks.
The general tells Atkins that he is being taken off the grid. All of his files and info are being erased. The general tells him that he won't be needing them anymore. He begins to hear his friend Ricky Lopez calling to him. Atkins snaps out of it and looks over at Lopez.
Whoa, man, you look completely out of it there. You feeling okay?
Atkins pulls himself together. Yeah, I'm fine. Just thinking about my wife and son. I know what we're doing is for a greater cause, but man. Lopez puts his drink down after taking a sip.
Hey, man, I'm right there with you, brother. I have a baby down in Mexico that I never met and a wife who never got the honeymoon she deserved.
Atkins turns around in his seat, shocked.
Well, goddamn, Lopez, and I'm over here in my feelings. I should be shedding tears for you.
The two fall out laughing.
Nah, but seriously, man, no honeymoon, though? Hey, man, I'm always working.
Atkins crosses his arms and smiles at him.
What, man? I'm Mexican. It's in my blood.
Atkins shakes his head while still laughing at Lopez. Then a green light appears on the cockpit control panel. The general appears on the hologram projector.
Atkins and Lopez both stand at attention and salute. At ease. I've just received the intel. Once again, great work, you two.
Both Atkins and Lopez nod.
Thank you, sir.
The general asks, is the beacon set?
Yes, sir, says Atkins.
The beacon is still booting and gathering the necessary info it needs to create a detailed map, sir. The general nods.
Good work. How long until complete?
Lopez chimes in.
Actually, sir, it's finishing right now. 10-second countdown.
Good. Well, since all is well, you two can begin your departure on to the next.
The transmission cuts out. Atkins and Lopez look at each other. The AI notifies them that the beacon is set and they're ready for takeoff. Atkins and Lopez start strapping in. Atkins calls out to the ship's AI,
raise the navigation systems.
A hologram pops up from the control board.
They can now fly the ship via hologram as they take off. They see the animals of Gliese 581G running away from the ship. Lopez takes a deep breath.
Another beautiful sight. I'll never get used to this.
The ship takes off upwards into space. They're approaching the coordinates of the wormhole. The AI alerts them that the worm jump will begin in 30 seconds. As the engines rev up, preparing for the worm jump, everything suddenly stops. The engines rev down and the lights dim. Lopez calls out to the AI system,
"Systems reboot! System respond!"
There is no response from the AI. They begin to hear a loud humming noise. They look out into space and see nothing in the distance.
"Atkins, are you seeing this?"
A large ship materializes right in front of them. Lopez has no idea what to do.
"Who is this?" he says.
Atkins is stiff like a deer in headlights. "I have no idea. There has to be a way to restart the systems." Atkins runs back over to the control board. He is frantically looking for a solution. He tries to regain control of the ship, but has no luck.
"We are completely locked out. The AI is still unresponsive."
"So what do we do, Atkins?"
Lopez looks at him for answers. Atkins is speechless as the mothership pulls them in. The bay doors shut behind them. They are now in complete darkness. A different voice is now coming from their ship.
"At ease, travelers. We mean you no harm. We now possess complete control over your space vessel."
The lights pop on in the mothership's hangar. A very tall woman is now standing in front of their ship. The woman is wearing a very strange and metallic outfit. She looks to be about 7 feet tall with pale white skin.
"Travelers, please come. No harm shall come to you."
Lopez runs to get him and Atkins a gun. He stops at an unmarked spot in the wall. Hitting it with his fist, the compartment opens and he grabs a gun. Atkins stops him.
"I promise you that will do us no good. The best thing to do is comply."
Lopez sighs and drops the gun.
"I don't know about this, buddy."
"What other choice do we have?" Atkins asks. The doors on their ship pop open. Atkins nods to Lopez as they walk off the ship. As they approach the tall woman, her troops uncloak behind her.
"Loyal travelers, you know not what you do."
Atkins is very confused.
"Who are you and why are we on your ship?"
The woman steps closer to him.
"I am Princess Oaya of the Palladian Empire."
Atkins and Lopez are in complete shock. Atkins has heard stories about the Palladian Empire. He takes a step back. "We were told that the Palladian Empire was not to be trusted. You're known for monopolizing galactic quadrants and taking control of all life in that sector." Princess Oaya smiles.
"Oh, so that is what you were told."
A hologram appears in between them and a picture of the general phases in.
"Is this the one that told you about the Palladians?"
Atkins and Lopez look at each other but give no response.
"You don't have to speak. I already know he is the one. General Zana is not who you think he is. You are being bamboozled and used like children."
Lopez is curious.
"Explain yourself."
She walks over and touches the hologram. It moves like water.
"These planets that you one day plan on colonizing for human expansion will end up being a profit for rulers of your world. Observe."
The hologram begins to play a video. The video shows the ISD going to each Earth-like world and killing off the indigenous population. Both Lopez and Atkins are confused. Atkins loses his temper.
"No, we were to come in peace. The ISD guides and watches over undeveloped planets, not kill everyone off."
Princess Hawaii says nothing as she points back to the video. The video also shows the shipping of resources to Earth.
"Your race is a barbaric one. For thousands of years, all you've known is war. Even to this day, man's greed still runs deep within you. The ISD, the ones you travel for, are not who you think they are. What General Zana told you about us is false. We saved entire galactic quadrants from destruction and restored their well-being."
Lopez still can't believe what he's hearing.
"I don't understand. How do you know if we're not the bad guys? We are the ISD."
Princess Oaya smiles at them.
"There are a lot of things I know. Just by looking at your actions and mannerism, I can tell you are completely oblivious to the ISD's true goals. The ISD is responsible for the death of millions. The Palladian Empire has found thousands of travelers like yourselves that have been manipulated."
The troops behind her begin to take off their helmets. Atkins and Lopez can now see them. These extraterrestrials are each from different parts of the universe.
"These are all travelers that came before you.
They too have found out the truth.
One of the extraterrestrials steps forward and stands at attention. Atkins notices his large purple eyes, blonde hair, and jet black skin.
This is Roniers, leader in charge of the Traveler Corps. His homeworld was about to be taken, but the Palladian Empire was able to aid in the fight against them.
Atkins asks, who is them? She points to the hologram.
The Reptilians.
Lopez and Atkins are stunned. Atkins taps Lopez and whispers to him,
the Reptilians haven't been seen or heard from in years. They went off the radar in the 1940s after that galactic war with the Brunarians.
Lopez just stares into space.
Holy shit.
You see, travelers, the worlds you are seeking are not for human expansion. They're for reptilian expansion.
Lopez starts pacing back and forth.
This is some bullshit. What are you talking about? The reptilians are so damn advanced, they can take over Type 0 and Type 1 civilization like that. Why use us?
She points back to the hologram. She shows them that they can shapeshift into anyone.
They find it much easier to control them from the inside out. Less hassle, and you don't want to risk losing valuable resources in the nuclear war.
Atkins has no clue what his next move is. And what are we supposed to do? Princess Owaya turns and walks off.
You may choose to do what you want, but you should also know that planet Earth is set for invasion within the next year.
Lopez begins to yell and scream.
Why? Why should I believe you? Why do you even care?
She smiles once more.
The Palladian Empire and reptilians have been at war for a millennium. We've been recruiting travelers for a very long time now. Since the reptilians are working from the inside, so will we.
Atkins steps forward.
So what's gonna happen now?
We will continue to protect the universe and make everyone aware of the reptilians' true agenda. Atkins looks back at the hologram and then looks at the princess and her troops.